Prepare to be astonished!
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Hello, hello. Welcome back again. So, I ran out of guest ideas. No. And I went back to my little black book and was like, who haven't I had on the radio? And I say I, because you've had this guest on the radio before.
Yes, he's a two-timer.
He's a two-timer. To his wife.
But in a good sense. In a really good sense.
I have my husband, Mark Quila. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. And you don't have to cover. I know that it was Mac persuading you to have me back on. So I appreciate being here.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to drag my husband into the drunk tank every now and then and
I almost put a microphone up to him. They should just walk away and just let you two go.
Yeah. Where's the lie detector test, Mac? I know it's here.
That's right.
Wink, wink.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, see, I warned him. I said, because we chatted a couple of days ago, and he talked about, oh, I'm coming on the show. I said, yes, and Alana's got all these hard-hitting gotcha questions, and the whole 28 minutes and 10 seconds, or 29 minutes that we go here, is all about getting some funny, terrible sound bites you can take out of context.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, I've been boning up, so I'm ready.
That's like the story of his life, right? I mean, he lives in a household of all women. There's...
What a lucky guy.
There are four of us, and just him... Yep, my cousin Bess here in the room saying, yep, one of those women. Yep. So
you lead a charmed life.
I do, you know. I mean, I'm the planner, you know, I'm the guy that pretty much, you know, organizes everything, all of the birthday parties and holidays. You know, that's really my bailiwick. And
okay, you're definitely being silly.
Alana's along for the ride.
I was about to be stunned by that.
Yeah.
I'm also a voracious reader.
Yeah, not even close.
Okay.
We are going to get, because you were a guest once before, so we already established, but just like a 10-second version, maybe 20 seconds, we talked about your name, because when I first got here, of course, 23 years ago, whatever, I knew you, I saw your name in print, and I always assumed it was Kujala.
Right.
And that was wrong.
Yep.
So, but I respond to it regardless. I've been...
Sure.
Conditioned to respond to about anything. So it's actually Finnish, as we discussed before.
Yep.
And in Finland, they say Kujala.
See, that's terrible.
Yeah.
And his family.
Nobody will ever.
His family says.
Here in Oregon, nobody will say that one right.
Kujala.
Yeah. Kujala.
But when I met him, all of his friends from like kindergarten said Kujala.
Yeah.
In his, Kujala. And I was like, well, have you ever corrected any of them? Well, no. I mean, I've known them since I was five. Well, yeah, you're right. You're not five anymore. Do you want them to know how to say your name? And so at our wedding, we actually had one of those friends for the first time teach the entire audience how to say our last name.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
And he did. He made everybody sound it out and say it aloud. And it was prior to like the wedding vows.
Yeah, that was great.
Nice.
Great idea. No, it is... I mean, growing up, having every teacher pronounce it differently. I mean, you just got so used to it.
Because also depending on their background, you know, too.
So I just kind of roll with it.
And especially as a kid, you get embarrassed at trying to, you know, correct the teacher.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the reasons I wish I had gone by Mac earlier.
Oh.
It was not till I was 21 years old that I went by Mac.
That you're like, oh, I don't have to use my full name.
And I had to correct every teacher that was not my last name. It really was my first name.
Wow.
And of course, you know, they're a substitute teacher looking at this, you know,
list.
7-year-old, and you're an idiot. You don't even know your own name.
You don't even know your own name.
So yeah, I get why you didn't correct even your friends. That makes sense to me. Okay, because this is going to be tons of fun. Let's just get right through it. I don't have many. History highlights. These are things that happen tomorrow, March 16th, 1802. U.S. Military Academy is established at West Point.
Okay. All men.
I grew up just near there.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1915, the Federal Trade Commission organizes. Do we care?
Well,
sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
1968, the My Lai Massacre.
Mm.
Yeah, a platoon of American soldiers brutally kills as many as 500 unarmed civilians.
Surprised that's not your highlight.
Well,
I mean, I know you don't like the downer highlights, but it doesn't stop you. Yeah, well, not highlight. I mean, most influential.
Most significant. Yes. Yeah. I think you'll understand. But 1995, this is not the one. 1995, the Mississippi House of Representatives formally abolishes slavery and ratifies the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. And yes, you didn't. I did not misread that. 1995.
I know. Wow. I remember that.
Isn't that crazy?
Because then we all got a lesson again on, yeah, just like what you just said. Yeah. Yes, this is just happening.
I mean, even if it was 1895, I would have a bit of an issue with that, but 1995.
It's tough. It's tough.
Wow. All right. Tough conversation. But our history highlight of the day, and again, not always good things. This one is not. 1935, Hitler orders the German rearmament in violation of the Treaty of Versailles.
Oh, my.
Well, Treaty of Versailles ending World War One. Hey, Germany, you can't have any military force.
Right.
In 1935, he's like, yeah, we can.
Yeah.
And nobody
not
stops
that
him.
Far removed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody stops him.
Wow.
So I kind of think that had more impact than the
My Lai
massacre or the Federal Trade Commission.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean.
But that's it. And I didn't purposefully have so little, just so you'd be more on the hot seat and have to talk to us for more time. So where do we begin?
Well, I think since you've had him on before that we really are going to talk about us.
Oh, good.
Because really, you know, when it's about you, it's really about me.
Sure.
Yeah. I was, you know, I learned in journalism school that the story isn't really about the other person. It's about myself. Yeah.
Okay. Right? So before we get into like how you two met and the love story that your kids are definitely going to want to hear.
Oh, I'm so going to make them listen to this.
Exactly.
Oh, boy.
So I'm going to hit the rumors
that
have been out there for years.
Okay.
Because we know that you, Alana, were a TV journalist.
Mm-hmm.
You interviewed him, and he put the move on you.
Oh. I don't think I ever interviewed Mark. And, I mean, also, it probably wouldn't have been allowed. Certainly not very ethical. But, no, we never interviewed him.
Nope.
Okay, so that's myth broken.
On the record, I
busted.
Never. Yeah. Yep, record. Yeah. Any other rumors out there?
That you were childhood friends. That you were, if you were not neighbors, you like knew each other from a very, very early age.
Our families did. So it was more that our families knew each other. And
that it was an arranged marriage.
No, also a rumor. Ooh, that's for another one, Mac. But so
So where does the story begin?
We have two siblings, Marie, Mark's sister, and my brother, Aaron, who were born 2 months apart. And they both were born with disabilities. In a time when a lot of families were actually told to put their children with disabilities into Fairview, which was an institution in Salem. I don't recall if your parents were told that, but I know mine were. But they were also supported in not making that decision. Hmm. And I know that your parents were also supported in not making that decision. I don't know if they were asked.
Supported by who?
By friends.
Yeah, there was a
and
community.
Doctors, even.
Yep. Yeah, I know that my mom was part of a group that had talked about, you know, ways to integrate in the community, and they were not considering ever, you know, putting Marie into Fairview.
And this truly was sort of on the cusp of people just starting to do that, of not sending away a child, okay? So, I mean, they're older.
And yeah, I was going to say, I know that they're older. So was this, were we as Oregonians, were we aware of what was happening at the state hospital at this point?
Well, your dad was.
No, as Oregonians, I would say we were very clearly not aware, because when you remove a group of people from a population, you remove their voice, you remove their visibility. And even if they can't talk, as in my brother's case, you wouldn't have seen him, right? So by not doing that, that's what changes things, right? When you start that you have to do it. So no, I would say people were very blissfully unaware. Where's Molly is a great example. That's a really good documentary to see, just to sort of understand a family that did the right thing, quote, you know, my hands are in quotes, and just not being aware of how it would impact Molly and how it would impact her sibling and other people around her as well.
Mm-hmm.
So So our parents did not take that path, and our moms were introduced specifically because of that. Our siblings have very different disabilities too. Let me point out, you know, as all people are different, but they got along great. I mean, we have like childhood photos. There's more photos of them together. They're adorable, right? Yeah, like they're the cutest little kids. Like, I mean, great personalities, and they were very little.
And how far apart did your two families live? They were both in Warrenton.
And yep, I was in Callabee Lake, so I was just outside the city limits, but considered Warrenton.
Yeah, we were on Galena, right next to the Skipanon, so a few miles.
Yeah,
3-4 miles.
Okay.
I mean, at the time, what, one stoplight? Mm-hmm. Now there's maybe three. So that connected our families. My family, actually, we ended up moving away before I was even 4 years old. So I don't have any memories really of living here other than the photos that I've seen. And we moved away and we lived all over the country after that. But our family stayed in touch, right? Because they had that pretty significant bond as moms. Mark had a family of four. Mark is older than me, I like to point out, often to my Wait children.
By at least 25 years, yeah. 27 years.
But we would see each other occasionally. Yeah.
Okay, so do you remember, I assume like family get-togethers or something or coming back to the area. Do you two remember, were you, either one of you old enough to remember the first time, I mean, I'm sure you were aware through photographs or descriptions, but the first time, like, I remember that picnic that our families got together and I saw you for the first time. Do you remember that moment at all?
Make it up if you don't.
I remember eating caviar for the first time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember we would get together for dinners.
Yeah.
At our house.
Clam digging. You guys took us clam digging.
Yeah.
We even met up at Disneyland once when we lived in Phoenix and they lived here. But it wasn't until much older, and I'm going to let Mark talk at some point. This, you know, again, like no. this, I said this was going to be all about me. We became adults, right? And I went into broadcasting, and I actually reconnected with Mark because his best friend is in broadcasting. So his friend and I became really good friends and really close, and he helped me get jobs and helped me get started. But that also sort of reignited Mark's and my friendship as well, because Mark's like, well, I can't let my friend be the only one that hangs out with her, talks to her. And so we sort of began our adult friendship.
Yeah. So she was only using me to leverage her career.
Exactly.
But
do you remember one of the more significant times when I emailed you during a campaign?
Yeah. Yeah. When I was first running for the Warrenton City Commission.
In what year?
2004.
No.
2004.
Okay. Oh, yes, it was.
2004. Yeah. And the first person that congratulated me via email was Alana. She was following in Florida. She was in Florida and you were doing politics, politics beat in Panama City.
Mm-hmm.
And so sure enough, the first email I got congratulating me was from Alana.
Because I worked the night shift.
So she could
And it's like 3 hours ahead. So I followed all the elections all over the country.
And that was amazing.
Did you save that email?
Yeah,
it wasn't important to you at the time. It was just like, oh, that's cool. Alana's congratulating.
Well, it was very important. I thought that was very, very neat that she was and we had talked a little bit on email before that, but it was,
I think that sort of changed things
cool.
because then it was like, you know, we had this adult relationship. We could talk about our siblings. We could talk about politics. I was very much into politics. I was meeting a lot of politicians at the time. And he was just getting started. And I think Mac wanted to talk about politics.
Did you give him any advice?
Oh, I think I did. I'm sure I did.
Actually, this is Alana. Of course
yeah,
she
I'm
gave
sure
advice.
I did. That's
true. There was a lot of advice.
What am I thinking?
Did I heed most of it? But it was all good advice.
Okay, so that does beg, because you both enjoy following politics. You both, I think, are very aware of your communities and things like that. You have run for office. You have not, Alana. But Mark, you have been involved in politics for a very long time.
Yeah.
At the local level.
Since 2004?
2004.
And that has made you kind of, you know, significant in state politics as well. I mean, the governor knows who you are. So why? especially today? I know when you started, it was
that
it was
is different. A great question, Matt.
Well, go back to the why too. Yeah. Why then, and then why now?
Yeah. So I, you know, my parents were both, you know, they followed current events. And, my grandfather Herb Palmberg would go to a lot of city council meetings, and he'd have me drive him. And of course, he would be very vocal. He was very outspoken. He would get up during the meeting. Sometimes I'd just cringe. Listen. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. But he really got me kind of inspired about local politics and making a difference. And I started going to the Warrenton Planning Commission and Warrenton City Commission. And there was a lot of land use issues at the time. And we had some property. So I was kind of going on behalf of our family and providing comment. And it was Gil Grampson, who was actually the mayor at the time. He says, you know, Mark, you should think, you know, in a couple years, maybe you should think about running for office. You seem to be interested, and you have, I don't know if he said good comments, maybe he said decent comments. But that's what kind of got me thinking about it. And sure enough, in 2004, that's when I filed to run, and I was successful. And I mean, it's kind of ever since I've.
So what was that margin on the first election? Do you remember? Was it a landslide, or did you just squeak it out?
I think I did pretty good. Okay. I think it was a pretty good margin.
Has it ever not been a landslide?
Well,
he's blushing.
I don't know, but I do think that was, you know, I learned so much in those first few years, because you run on one thing, you think you're kind of, you know, thinking about some pretty narrow topics.
Hyper-focused
on just a few things. And there's so much more that you get involved in, and you have to get educated about, you know, what this role really entails, and go out and, you know, meet folks in the community that have maybe a different focus than you, and, you know, align yourself. And it's great. I've just really enjoyed the experience of being a representative for my community.
So talk about a little bit more about that, just because I do think that people have the idea, like, I'm going to run for city council, or I'm going to run for something. And they really think it's just a meeting every 2 weeks,
right?
An hour, or two hours, or three hours. And you have packets that are hundreds of pages.
Yeah.
And you have all these things that you have to suddenly become knowledgeable about.
Yeah.
Because you're one of five or one of seven making major decisions. So talk about that idea of, oh, it's just not that much time versus how much time do you put into these kinds of things?
Yeah. And I will say, I've been really fortunate, first of all, to have great colleagues that I've worked alongside and Warrenton and on the Clatsop County Board of Commissioners, but also we've had great leadership from the staff. I mean, the county manager, Don Boone, I mean, he's the best. And I've learned a lot from him, you know, his experience in Washington County for 30 years. I mean, it's translated very well to Clatsop County, but you know, that really, to me, you know, you do have to learn a lot about things and kind of get immersed into some of these topics that you never thought you would be interested in or need to be well versed in. But it's because we have a really good team, and that's what it's like being on a winning basketball team. It's just it's something that's exciting to me and something I enjoy.
But for those ones who do run on one issue, because it happens so often, right? I mean, you see it. I'm angry about this, and they're always angry, right? Like, okay. And then they get on and they're like, oh my goodness, like
it's just not as easy to fix as I thought it
was. Of a piece of the pie of what you're going to have to write. And it's often truly like pie wise, when you're talking about budget wise, what people do get really upset about often isn't the most where the most money spent either.
Yeah.
But a lot of time can be spent there.
And you have to really reevaluate all constantly, because if you don't have an open mind, you're not going to be an effective, you know, commissioner, counselor, you name it. You have to listen to all sides and be able to make those decisions based on a cumulative body of information.
So in 20 plus years of being in this game, what's something that you never would have thought about that, A, I suddenly got interested in when I had to learn more about it, you know, that like in this building, the Heritage Museum that we're recording in, one of my first projects was putting an elevator in. I never would have guessed. And I learned so much about, I was suddenly getting Elevator Magazine, and I actually, I was reading through it. I was like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
So what kind of topic like that would you never have guessed?
Well, I
2004
mean,
2004, yeah, I'd become an expert on that.
Certainly. I mean, things like the jail, you know, the construction of the jail. I never, first of all, you don't want to be in a jail, and you don't want to think about, you know, how you design a jail and what's the, but sure enough, you get pretty immersed in how efficient this jail is, and then how they have a central location where they can see all of the inmates or all of the adults in custody from one vantage point, and you know how sophisticated it is, and the staffing levels of how you can control how many people are working on a shift. I mean, it's pretty fascinating. So at the same time, I would have never thought that was something that I'd get to learn more about.
So on a human level, you know, because while you're doing big policy things, you also, whether it's on a city commission or as mayor or as a county commissioner, sometimes you solve somebody's problems, either even if it's just helping them navigate through bureaucracy. Any one time that you made a difference in somebody's life that you really just remember and it was powerful that you're able to talk about?
Well, I think one of the first ones was just a simple garage or a shed that a person in Hammond was trying to build onto their home, and was getting met with nothing but resistance from, you know, I think at the time it was the Planning Commission that didn't agree with the design. This person has a disability and couldn't communicate well, and his wife too. And at the same time, the neighbors were supportive of him building this because it was a big deal for them. And so I was able to kind of push, you know, forward and work with the Planning Commission, work with the City Commission at the time. And sure enough, he got it permitted and he got it built. And he was so thankful that he reached out to me several times afterwards to just say, thanks to you, we got this built. And it's a garage that I still see it today driving by in Hammond. And you know, I felt good about that because it was not going to get permitted. It wasn't going to get built. And luckily we were able to make it happen.
And the two parties weren't understanding either.
And
both he and her had a disability. Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay. So I do want to, because we're going to run out of time and this might be a two-parter, but let's get back to the two of you.
Yes.
I almost feel like I want you in separate rooms and see if your answers match up, like it's the Newlywed Game or something. Yeah, I know. I would stink at that game. Your first date.
Oh.
Actual date. Not like, hey, we're friends and maybe we're thinking about, but this is a date. You both know this is a date.
I think it's when, well, so again, this is sort of interesting, Mac, because we started dating and I lived in Reno, Nevada, and Mark lived in Warrenton, Oregon. So, and I had, you know, no idea of moving beyond. I was sort of, you know, I was moving my way up through the market. So I'd gone from Panama City to Reno. And then Portland's kind of a big jump. So I wasn't quite ready for that just yet. But I did come home and I went and stayed with my parents. They lived in Portland and I came home for a week. And Mark and I were going to have a week together, I think, right? And we're going to do a bunch of activities. And my dad said to me at the very beginning of the week, if he still likes you at the end of this week, you're going to get married. And I mean, we hadn't gone on a date. We hadn't, you know, we had just been sort of just talking. And yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, Dad. I was like, that's so ridiculous.
When you moved to Reno, we had been talking
a lot.
A lot. And so this was the first time to really spend time, quality time together.
But my dad knew, like, a week. Hmm. Yeah. He'll either stand her or like, that'll be it. He'll be done.
And what all did you do in this week?
Well, one of the things is we went to the symphony.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
Your choice, not Mark's choice.
No, it was Mark's choice.
Oh. I was trying to impress
Smooth
Mac.
Operator.
We did a lot of things that I was trying to impress her with. Didn't we go to a Blazer game too? So we did a lot of Portland, kind of downtown Portland and Portland metro.
And I'd gone from Portland for a long time, so it was all the things that I wanted to do too.
Yeah.
I'd lived in Florida for a long time.
Yeah, it's carefully orchestrated on my part to impress her. And
I didn't visit the cannery.
No, you didn't see. Didn't see the cannery.
Yeah, and I needed to have done that. That's what I needed to have done.
Mm, yeah.
No, it was yeah. I meant a lot, of course, to both of us, but yeah, we made it through the week and here we are 20 years
later.
Plus.
Okay, yeah, oh yeah, so, 22 years later.
So let's get to the proposal. When and where does that happen?
So that's exactly, it was
coincidentally
Valentine's Day.
2 months later.
Yeah.
After my dad said that comment.
A kind of a whirlwind. Yeah.
Yes.
Romance. And so we were on a beach in Mexico and proposed to her on the beach in Mexico.
Yeah. At sunset.
At sunset.
Oh, it was so sweet. We have all the pictures. I've talked about it before because I've always said I love Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
Mark also knew, like, he never had to do anything else because it's done.
And I snuck the wedding ring on the plane and kept it away from her the whole time. So I was just,
I know, through Mexico security.
Very,
isn't that terrifying?
Very proud of myself.
I was like, that's so dumb.
That would have been like the worst proposal ever.
Yeah, security. Oh, by the way.
You have to explain why you're carrying this. Yeah. So have you ever been back to that beach?
We have not. No, yeah.
No.
There's your 50th anniversary.
Yeah. Well, there we go. There. Yeah.
Make your plans now.
Yeah.
We do lots of travel to Florida. I make him go to Florida a lot.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
But from there, you know, so I then moved to, I did get a job in Portland and I moved to Portland, but we ended up continuing to have a long distance relationship. So I lived and worked in Portland for another 4 years. Yep. Worked for Coin News 6, and Mark continued in politics and continued to run the cannery at home.
We got married during this period.
We did. Yes, we got married. Yeah, we had a place there and a place here.
Yeah.
So long-term relationship between, or long distance, mm-hmm. Portland to here, to me, is not really that long distance. But the two careers that you seem like
it was,
because you weren't, like,
I was night and day. Yes.
You were all the time, weekends and doing that. And as a elected official.
Yeah, I would be driving back because she would be going to work at 4 a.m.
For the last 2 years, I worked in a morning shift.
And then I would be driving back early in the morning to work during the week and then come back, you know, like on Wednesday. So it'd be like a couple days.
I mean, it's good. It's a way to learn the art of communication, right? I mean, and then you also don't have to learn each other's new, like, newlywed, like, things, like, that annoy you about the other person yet while you're still, like, in the beginning of a relationship. So we did that a couple years into our marriage, and it's like, okay, well, fine. I guess I'm already a couple years in. I could put up with this.
Yeah.
It's too late. I'm already invested.
We had some storms that kept us, like, I was stuck up there and trying to get back.
Oh, yeah.
For Christmas 1 year because it was so icy and snowbound, and then I was driving you to work in the morning at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was, yeah.
And
it was a good adventure.
I love covering stories here, and I did get to cover quite a few stories in Astoria. Interviewed Willis quite a bit, interviewed the sheriff at the time.
Right.
Any sort of big story or small story. We even opened, remember when we went and opened the safe at the Hanthorn Cannery?
Yeah, Floyd.
It was a big, like, dun, 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 and it was empty.
Yeah.
At the end of that.
Well, I thought he couldn't get it open.
He couldn't, but then when he,
as exciting as Al Capone.
It was just like that.
See, I told we're going to have two shows, folks.
Well, but we are out of time. But
yes.
Mark, we're glad that you are with Alana and you do so much for the community. We didn't even get to the hospital, but you are making your community such a better place.
Oh, Mac.
Very appreciated.
Well, thank you very much. I just really appreciate listening to both of you, and I'm honored to be a guest once again.
All right, go make some mystery. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.